In today's episode of Mavericks and Misfits, Jeff is going to lead us further into the discussion about the gift of tongues. What is the difference between the private use of tongues versus the prophetic gift of tongues? Can anyone pray in tongues, or is it a sovereignly bestowed gift meant for some, but not meant for others? How do we actually begin praying in tongues if we have never done it before? We will go straight to the scriptures for the answers to these questions, and we are not left without God's clear guidance in these issues. Let's talk again about this gift of tongues. Here's Jeff.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Mavericks and Misfits. I'm your host, Jeff Lyle. Thanks for tuning in. If you're a first-time listener, we're grateful that you found us. We have really established this podcast almost 4 years ago to the day. It's October of 2020 when I was on a ministry sabbatical. I wasn't in the pulpit. I wasn't serving at the church I was leading at that time, and just had all this revelation from God after I had recovered from cancer. Been a long year, and towards the end of the year, felt permission of the Lord to start speaking, and the outlet that was created ended up being the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. And so if you're tuning in today, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being a part of the listening audience. For the last couple of years especially, we've just seen a lot of traction with Mavericks and Misfits, and I'm always encouraged to hear from people who've been helped and blessed or even angered at times by what I share on Mavericks and Misfits. So basically, my whole position is if you are a person of spirit and truth, it means you love the Bible and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you're a misfit, because most churches, most religious versions of Christianity force us to choose between the Holy Bible and the Holy Spirit. A lot of Holy Bible people disregard the needs and the availability and the necessity of the gifts of the Spirit. And a lot of Holy Spirit circles are allergic to the Bible, allergic to doctrine and truth. They just don't have any use for it. And so if you love spirit and truth, if you love the Word of God and the Spirit of God, then you'll probably fit in pretty good on this podcast. My goal is just to speak truth, to bring us all out of the boxes that somehow we find ourselves in American Christianity. And so I don't really toe the line with any denomination or standard. I just let the scriptures speak. And when you do that, you become a maverick. So hence the name Maverick and Misfit. You buck the system, you're a maverick. You believe in the Word and the Spirit, you're a misfit. And so if that describes you, welcome. You may find a home on this podcast. You know, we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit lately. I've returned to the roots of Mavericks and Misfits for the last several weeks. And I want to talk to you about an aspect of the gift of tongues today. The previous podcast on tongues really just kind of laid out the case for tongues being legitimate, explored some of the modern thought about tongues, looked a lot at scripture, what the scriptures say, primarily in the book of Acts about tongues. And then again, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, we talked about tongues. And today I want to talk to you about the private use of tongues, the personal private practice of tongues. I'm not talking about the release of the gift of tongues in a gathered setting. I'm pretty clear on that. I believe the Bible, and a lot of people disagree with me. That's fine. I just cannot violate my conscience. My conscience is informed by the scripture, and my interpretation of the scripture is that when tongues are used in a gathered assembly, they should be accompanied by an interpretation, and that serves as a prophetic gift that edifies the body. Scripture says if there's a tongue being given, that it shouldn't be more than two or three people, and there should always be an interpreter. So I practice that at Antioch Outpost. We teach our leaders to do that. And so we talked last time about singing in the Spirit. We talked about praying in the Spirit. We talked about prophesying in the Spirit with tongues. But today I want to talk to you primarily about the personal private practice of the gift of tongues. And so in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is testifying. He is testifying and instructing the church at Corinth about this issue of praying in tongues. You talk about something that offends the intellect. There's probably nothing less intellectual and reasonable than praying in tongues. It makes no common sense. It defies the intellect. And yet you cannot deny that Scripture is very clear about praying personal prayers in tongues. And Paul's going to testify, and I think this is going to help some of you And it may help some of us to recognize the difference in the biblical parameters, I call them guardrails, between our private personal use of tongues as a means by which we are edified versus doing that together, everybody praying in tongues in a church service. What are the biblical regulations on that? Should we pay attention to those? And so I'm gonna probably stir the pot a little bit, okay? Especially for charismatic people that don't want any regulations on tongues whatsoever. And I'm thinking, man, I'm just at a place in my journey where I want to do God's will, God's way. I want to use God's gifts in a way that I know His blessing will be upon it. And so for me, that's okay, Lord, if you've revealed something in your word, it was important to you, still is important to you. And so if God has revealed something in the word, I am always trying to be very careful not to transgress against what is written in the word, because I believe in the authority of the author of the word. And so when it comes to this issue of tongues, I would say a lot of us in charismatic circles need to tighten up a little bit, because I think we've just kind of gone lax on what the scriptures say about the use of tongues in the corporate setting. That's actually not going to be my main point today, but in talking about private personal practice of tongues, we'll flow back and forth into comparing that with the gathered church. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, in verse number 14, he says, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also." And then he says this, "Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider," that would be an unbeliever, "say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough," he's saying you may actually be giving thanks in your tongues, but the other person is not being built up. And then Paul says this, he's the most intellectual Christian probably that has ever lived, the architect of most of the doctrine in the New Testament. And he says, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." So Paul, the chief intellectual Christian of his time, says, "I pray in tongues, I speak in tongues more than all of you at Corinth. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind," meaning a discernible, understandable communication in a known language, in his primary language. He said, "I'd rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue." And then he adds this in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 14. "Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature." Okay, so Paul is saying here, in the gathered service, it is not beneficial to other people, especially unbelievers, for everybody to be praying in tongues or singing in tongues. That's just what the Bible says. I didn't make that up. Don't shoot the messenger. The Bible says that. Why? Because Paul says, it, and this is his testimony, when he prays in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:14, he is praying in his spirit, and his intellect, his mind, does not know what he is praying. So when you are praying in tongues as a Christian, you should anticipate it won't make intellectual sense. That is probably why it requires faith. One of the hardest hurdles for people who do not speak in tongues, especially people like me that were trained theologically, that are more thinkers than feelers, it is difficult to get over the hurdle of engaging in something that in your mind you're like, I don't understand what's happening. But this is what the Bible says. So use your mind to be clear about what the Bible actually says. The Bible tells you at the jump, when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, your mind will not be able to rationalize or reason what is coming out of your mouth. So Paul asks a rhetorical question. What do I do then? Paul says, I will pray. I will pray with my spirit, meaning I'm going to keep praying in tongues. And then he adds this, but I'll pray with my mind also. So you pray in your cognitive language, the language you understand. You hear yourself praying, just like I'm talking right now. Our brains, as they hear words, instantly thoughts and ideas are formed. There is a process that we're not even conscious of, that words communicate understanding. Our brain is doing this. So when we pray, we are benefited at times by hearing ourselves pray, and we understand what we're praying. But there are other times where Paul says, don't pray with the mind, pray from your spirit. And when you pray from your spirit, Holy Spirit is praying out from you, and your mind will, in essence, people hate this, but your mind will be bypassed. Your intellect will not be engaged. Your processing and your reasoning capacity will not be at the forefront like it is when we're talking or praying in our normal language. It is supernatural. It is Holy Spirit praying through your human redeemed spirit, and your mind has to say, this is not my moment to run the show. And you literally have to come to the place where you're very comfortable not knowing. Most of the time, God does often give you an interpretation of what you prayed in the spirit, but most of the time, as Paul writes, your mind is unfruitful. And then, of course, he adds, when we're in a gathered setting and everybody or an individual is praying in their prayer language, praying in tongues, and there's no interpretation, the other people just have to sit there and listen. And if they're an outsider, Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 14, they'll think you're crazy. It's actually a stumbling block. They're not being built up. They don't have Jesus. They don't understand the ways of the Holy Spirit. Can I insert just a personal testimony? Our church prays every Tuesday. We have a 4-hour prayer meeting. People come anytime between 4 and 8 p.m. Some stay for the entire 4 hours. We fast on Tuesdays. And that prayer meeting is a gathered meeting that is established for Christians to pray. So in that prayer meeting, we do not demand an interpreter to happen, to be present, an interpretation to happen when we pray in tongues. Why? Because it is not a meeting designed for unbelievers. Now, if there are people that I do not know, or that I know they're unbelievers there, we will tighten down a little bit on praying in tongues. I will often give an explanation of what is happening if somebody is praying in tongues so that unbelievers will have a chance to understand what's happening. That rarely occurs. It's almost exclusively Christians from our church and our community coming. So we don't require an interpretation because there's not a stumbling block opportunity for unbelievers in that prayer meeting because it's designed for Christians to come and pray. Now, in our Sunday morning services, completely opposite. We not only anticipate unbelievers will be there, we pray that unbelievers will be there. So we don't pray in tongues uninterpreted on the mic. There is the occasional interpretation of tongues that'll happen at Antioch Outpost. It's very rare. But most of all, in our Sunday services, we are not praying in tongues out loud as an assembly on the mic. Why, Jeff? Some people say you're quenching the spirit. No, I'm actually obeying the spirit. Because the Spirit says, don't do that. That is what the Word of God says. And so my conscience is bound to the Word of God. And a lot of our Pentecostal charismatic people that come from other places often struggle with the fact that we don't do uninterpreted tongues corporately. I don't get up and say, everybody pray in the Spirit on Sundays. You want to do that with us? We'll do that on Tuesdays, every Tuesday. But the gathered assembly is going to always have unbelievers. And the Bible says they'll think you're crazy, and it's a stumbling block. That's why Paul says, I speak in tongues all the time. Nevertheless, in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my mind, with my understanding, 5 objectively understandable words in our case, English, than to speak 10,000 words in a tongue. And then he says, don't be children, be mature in your thinking. So it's actually, at the risk of offending some of you listening, it's actually a sign of immaturity to pray in uninterpreted tongues as a congregation, because what it does is it disregards the needs of others in the building who may not be believers. I'm just going to let you wrestle with that. Am I going to break fellowship with people over that? Of course not. Are people going to break fellowship with me? No, I hope not. I find myself in the minority with this a lot of the time, because I come from a place that my views on the gifts were not framed up by experience. They were framed up by the Word of God, and my experiences came later. And so a lot of charismatics got the experience before they got the biblical understanding. And so when we're talking to a lot of charismatics, they'll be like, Jeff, you're limiting the Holy Spirit. My answer to them is, no, I'm actually obeying the word that the Holy Spirit authored. I don't think I limit him by obeying him. Okay? And so again, I'm not here to police this thing. I hang around with a ton of people, pastors, leaders, and their churches do this all the time. I don't raise up an objection. It's not my territory. I'm not the leader in those places. But if they ask me, I tell them, yeah, here's my beliefs. Romans 8:26 is a great verse. Let's just read 26 and 27. You probably recognize these. It says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, what we have there is we have Paul telling us what is often occurring at times when we pray in the Spirit or we pray in tongues. The groanings are a description of the sounds that come out of us when we can't articulate the depths of our hearts in prayer. All of you have been in pressurized, traumatic, painful seasons where the groan is all you've got. Your words from your mind, they sound hollow. They don't convey the depth of your spirit. And at times like that, a lot of people just don't pray. They're like, I just can't pray. And I'm thinking, no, that's the signal when you can't pray because you are overwhelmed with something. Sometimes it's something painful, but other times it's glory. Like, I've been so just engulfed in the glory of God that English words make no sense. And so the groan of the Spirit comes out in tongues. And sometimes it's like my normal tongues. Other times I can tell it's a new level of the groan. And the Bible says in Romans 8:26 and 27, that is the Spirit, Holy Spirit, God inside of you, God the Spirit, praying the will of the Father through your spirit, through your vocal cords, through your tongue, through your mouth. What's happening there? The one who is searching hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Why? Because in those moments, the Spirit himself is interceding through the saints and for the saints according to the will of God. So praying in tongues is a means by which we pray the will of God. We can't mess it up because we don't even know what's being prayed. Now, a lot of people want to say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would God use us to pray to God, God's will, and us not be included? I don't know. I mean, how's that answer? I do not know. Again, it's beyond your capacity to reason and rationalize. And then the depth to which you feel the need to understand it / control it will be the degree to which you do not participate in praying in the Spirit. You have to go humble. Now, listen. It requires humility to pray in tongues. Why? Because of what I've already told you in 1 Corinthians 14:14. Paul said, if I'm praying in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. This is, praying in tongues is not an activity that is situated in the intellect. It occurs from and within the spirit. And if you have to understand and explain and be in control of everything that you're doing, like full control has to make sense, then you probably won't pray in tongues. So it requires humility. There's a place of surrender. It says, Lord, this makes no sense. It feels even a little silly, a little foolish. You have to get over that hurdle and just trust God that he says, I'm actually going to groan through you the will of my will through your spirit cooperating with Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of things that don't make sense in the kingdom that are beneficial, and praying in tongues is one of them. Paul goes on to say that these tongues, personal practicing of tongues, is part of personal prayer and worship. He says, I will pray with my spirit. I will sing praise with my spirit. Do you notice he's saying, I will, not I feel. Not it makes sense. He says, I am going to will myself to pray not only in my known language, but to pray in the spirit. I'm not only going to pray with my mind and sing praise with my mind. I'm going to pray and sing praise with my spirit. So he's contrasting praying in tongues in the spirit versus praying with the mind. What does this mean? Well, praying in the spirit is something that's foreign to praying with the intellectual understanding. So it's a prayer to God that the mind can't understand because it goes straight from the human spirit via the Holy Spirit to God. So in this context, Paul is instructing on how to utilize the gift of tongues properly. Praying with the Spirit in this 1 Corinthians passage that I've been highlighting refers to praying in tongues. And he says, I'm going to do it. So what you've got to do is your faith has to have a component of obedience. And listen, there are things that God calls us to do, and even in Scripture we're commanded to do, that I don't understand. You just do it because God says you can. And I don't expect people that have never prayed in tongues to suddenly be fluent in praying in the Spirit. A lot of people are waiting to be, you know, fluent. They hear other people praying in tongues with long sentences, massive syllables, it goes sounds. And these people have probably been praying in the Spirit for years and years. Praying in tongues was something for me that started with a few syllables that came out of my mouth. And I had to grow, and I had to work at overcoming my intellectual resistance. Just to help you out, this is back in early 2003 when I first began to pray in tongues. And as I paused, I literally at the beginning of that journey told the Lord no. I was a Baptist pastor. I write about this in my book, Figuring Out As I Go. If you're interested in reading the full detail, I don't have time to give it. Get a copy of my book, Figuring It Out As I Go. But in that chapter called Ambushed by God, I talk about how I resisted tongues because I was afraid of what it might do to my life. I was a Baptist pastor. Baptist pastors don't pray in tongues. And I chose the fear of the man, fear of what people would say, fear of what it would do to the church. And I thought I was just being prudent, not wanting to split the church. I'd been trained that tongues were demonic as a Baptist. That's what I believed. And even though I believed theologically that tongues were valid, I really didn't want tongues. And so when tongues were given to me spontaneously, I ultimately said after 2 days of it, no, Lord, I don't want to do this. When I finally gave in a couple of years later, like 2 years later, I said, okay, Lord, whatever you want, my life is yours. And when I began to pray in tongues regularly, it took a couple of months for me to get past the, is that me making sounds? Or is that the Spirit? I went back and forth for a couple of months. That felt like God, but maybe that was me. And my mind kept trying to regain the reins. My mind wanted to be in charge. And ultimately, this is the prayer I prayed. I said, Lord, I believe tongues are real. I believe this gift is from you. I'm going to pray in tongues, and whatever these sounds are, and I'll humble myself, Lord, if this is me, I'm asking you to forgive me, but what I'm doing unto you to the best that I know how. I believe this is enriching my walk with you, and so I'm going to continue to do it, and I'm not going to fret over it anymore. And I never worried about it again. I got over that hump, and tongues has been a fluid part of my life pretty much every day since 2004 or 5, about 2000, early 2005. So there was a 2-year hiatus where I just couldn't get intellectually past it. And then when I gave in to all that the Lord wanted in my life, I worked through those initial couple of months of wondering, was that just me forcing it? Was that my sounds? Was that just blah, blah, blah? Or is that really the Holy Spirit? And I finally just told my mind, bow to the Spirit and shut up. I flipped the switch. It was hard, but I did it. Some of you just need to do that. Some of you need to come to that point where saying, Jeff, I do it. I think it's the Lord, but I don't want to do anything that offends the Lord. Just tell the Lord, confess, Lord, I'm struggling with how much of this is me, how much of it is you. And so, Lord, whatever I'm doing, I'm trying to do for your glory and to edify. And I believe I should will to pray in the Spirit. So that's what I'm doing, Lord. And he's going to bless that, okay? The truth of the matter is praying in tongues is always a partnership between the person and the Holy Spirit. There are moments where Holy Spirit, especially the more advanced you are in praying in tongues, there will be moments where it feels like he just reaches in and just harnesses your whole being, and the tongues flow without your cooperation. The fact of the matter is I can stop this podcast right now, and I can start praying in tongues right now. I can stop and start as I desire. Why? Because it's a gift. It's not some so supernatural thing that, you know, I go into a trance and I go into a different place and I'm unaware of what's happening when I'm praying in tongues. No, you have to. That's why Paul commands us. He says later, I wish you all would pray in tongues. I mean, this is what he says. And so we're going to do this because the Bible reveals it to be legitimate. It is a practice and gift that you grow in. If you are embarrassed or afraid to do it because you're not fluent in it, your mind's not on surrender. Your mind's not being with the Lord in that moment. Just bind your mind to the mind of God and command your spirit to obey Holy Spirit. And then open your mouth and pray and worship or sing in a language that is not your primary language. You say, Jeff, that just sounds forced. Well, my friends, listen. I would rather you risk forcing it to begin than to sit in a dark room with nothing happening, waiting on God to do it for you. I was called to preach on December 14th, 1994. I didn't know how to preach. I didn't have any training. I was supernaturally summoned by God the Spirit to preach the Word of God. God did not make that happen for me. Eventually, I had to stand up in front of people, open my mouth, and begin to use the embryo form of the gift I had been given. And as the embryo was utilized, that gift began to be, guess what? It grew. It strengthened. It matured. As you use a gift consistently by faith, humbling yourself and trusting God, then it will grow. If you have to be an all-star the moment you do it, you'll probably never do it. So yes, it's very humbling. It bypasses the mind. It humbles you. You have to work through your brain trying to figure out, is this, you know, some of you are so blessed, you're not overcomplicated at all. You're just like, no, I'm going to do it. And you do it from the very beginning. And it's, you know, you have no issues. A lot of us are not like that. We want things to make sense. And so I'm just saying, don't give up. Don't do it once so you can tell people, yeah, I speak in tongues. It's supposed to be part of our lifestyle. Why? Because the Bible says it's the Holy Spirit praying God's will through your spirit. The Bible says it edifies you. That's Jude verse 20, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Okay? So we're praying at all times in the Spirit. Paul didn't just say pray at all times. He said pray in the Spirit. There's a distinction on praying in the Spirit. I believe with all my heart, he is talking about praying in tongues. And then Jesus said in Mark 16, here's some signs that will accompany those who believe in my name. They're going to cast out demons and they will speak in new tongues. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says believers speak in tongues. And it's all throughout Scripture. So it's not a gift. I would, golly, I don't want to do this right now because I'm running out of time. But there is a distinction, I believe, I'm convicted of this, between the prophetic gift of tongues, that when used, the prophetic gift of tongues in the gathered assembly, a person receives a message from the Lord in tongues. It is released verbally. It is heard by the people that are gathered. And in order for it to meet the standard for a prophetic gift of tongues, it requires an interpretation. The tongues in the church are to be prophetic tongues. And so what that does is it sends a signal, something supernatural is occurring. It requires the discipline of not only the person receiving the message in tongues, but the discipline of waiting on an interpretation and then that person exercising faith to give the interpretation in the known language of the people gathered in that room. It's so incredibly important that we recognize that is the prophetic gift of tongues. Some people have that gift. I'm not going to tell you everybody has the prophetic gift of tongues. What I will tell you is that everybody has availability for the prayer and personal use of edifying tongues. I believe it's an endowment given by God that is personal. It should be used privately and daily. It should be used by faith. And listen, you've got to start somewhere. Start practicing the gift of tongues. Start by asking the Lord to release that endowment in you. Tell him, I believe that I have this as a child, because Jesus said that those that believe in him, Lord, would speak in tongues. So I believe I have that. I believe what Jesus says. And Lord, I'm asking you to help me because I don't know how to do this and I need you to help me to get my mind out of the way. Lord, I listened to Jeff on a 40-minute podcast and he told me that if I would pursue this, you would unlock this and you'd help me journey out of trying to understand it. You'd remove this control instinct from me and I wouldn't be a prisoner to what I can understand, but that I would truly be a new level of freedom in the spirit to begin to pray in tongues. And do I believe you can receive an impartation? I do. I thank God, you know, for opportunities for some person to lay hands on others and the gift of tongues to be released. But I want to tell you something. You have to open your mouth. It's not such a sovereign endowment that you could wire your jaw shut by your will and God would still force it open and make you pray in tongues. Nope, doesn't work like that. And I will risk saying this. It's a bit of a cop-out to say, well, if God wants me to have tongues, pray in tongues, speak in tongues, he'll give it to me. Well, I would say that if God wants you to have the prophetic gift of tongues and that gift to be used in a corporate manner that edifies people with an interpreter, you might have some room to stand on. You might have some room to stand on about the prophetic gift of tongues. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your personal, private prayer language. And I believe it's available to everybody. And if you want it, it will deepen you in your spiritual walk and it will change your Christian life. It will absolutely, if you make praying in tongues a frequent part of your journey with Jesus, it will radically change how you are living the Christian life. So let me finish up here. Paul says at the end of 1 Corinthians 14, first he says in verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So smart people, intellectual people can pray in tongues. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than anybody. He didn't say this, but I will qualify it. Paul is the premier intellectual architect of all New Testament doctrine. Holy Spirit used his great, educated, well-trained mind, coupled with Holy Spirit revelation. Paul could explain the deepest mysteries of the gospel because he was brilliant in his intellect. And that same man said, I pray in tongues more than anybody. So people that say, well, that's for the babies. It's baby talk. It's baby babble. It's all of that, you know, gibberish. I'm thinking, tell it to Paul. Sit down and have a conversation with Paul in heaven and instruct him while he was immature and wasting his time with gibberish. Tell it to Paul. And some of the most brilliant people in the kingdom today are tongue-talking people. But he says this. He says, and this is what people need to hear. This is what gripped me as a Baptist pastor back in the day. He says in verse 39 of 1 Corinthians 14, he tells them previously, I want you all to speak in tongues. That's in your Bible. Paul told all the Christians, particularly at Corinth, but by application, it applies to all Christians. I want you all to speak in tongues. What are you going to do with that? And then he says in verse number 39, do not forbid speaking in tongues. If leaders, denominations, and churches forbid speaking in tongues, they are violating Scripture. That's actually disobedient, and it is in contradiction to the written Word of God to forbid speaking in tongues. That wrecked me as a Baptist pastor. I remember one time we had a prayer meeting in our Baptist church, and some ladies from a charismatic Korean church stopped by. And about 10 minutes into the prayer meeting, there was a small number of people. There might have been 20 people in the prayer meeting. One of the women humbly asked me, can we pray in tongues? Now, this is before my encounter with tongues. And I said, no, ma'am, we don't do that here. I actually violated 1 Corinthians 14, 39. I forbid her to speak in tongues. I will never do that again. I will say this, that we will honor the guidelines for tongues, but to forbid people from speaking in tongues is to cut them off from a valuable resource that the Bible says is legitimate. So, wrapping up, there's two extremes when it comes to the usage of tongues, okay? Shutting down tongues or showing off tongues. You don't show off tongues. You don't just do it whenever you want, however you want, no guidelines, no guardrails, nor do you shut down tongues. It requires obedience and honor to the Word of God for us to utilize tongues properly. And if tongues hold no value, then why was Paul grateful for being able to utilize this gift? I thank God I speak tongues and more than you all. If they have no value, why was Paul so grateful to do it at a high level? And what, on the contrast, what do you and I think? What do you think today about large segments of the church that forbid the use of tongues when Scripture says, don't do that? So guys, we can't show off tongues and we can't shut down tongues. Hope this has been beneficial for you today. I wish I just had the ability to, you know, flip, snap my fingers and everybody's praying in legitimate tongues. That is the Holy Spirit's job, and He will work in cooperation of you as you prioritize and pursue the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Earnestly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's commanded in Scripture. So it's not a side dish that you can be neutral about. Let's press into the gifts together. Next time, I think we'll talk about the gift of prophecy on our next episode of Mavericks and Misfits. If you want to help me out a little bit, take 3 minutes and give a rating and a review of Mavericks and Misfits wherever you're listening to this podcast. I don't understand how that works. My goal is to reach people. I don't even know how many people have rated and reviewed us, but smart people tell me that, Jeff, if you get favorable ratings and reviews, and I'm not asking you to lie, if you hate the podcast, give it a 1-star. You have that right. But if you're being helped and you think other people would be helped, rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Give us a rating with whatever star you feel is appropriate. And then write a little review. Tell people what's happening when you listen to Mavericks and Misfits. If you want a copy of my book, Figuring Out As I Go, pick it up at Amazon or wherever you buy books. And listen, if you don't have a home church and you live anywhere near Bethlehem, Georgia, come to Antioch Outpost. Be a part of our Tuesday prayer meetings, 4 to 8 p.m. or join us for a Sunday morning service at 10:30 p.m. I teach a Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. And there's a place here for you. Let's do this journey together, and I'll be able to pour a little bit more into you next Tuesday when we drop a new episode of Mavericks and Misfits. See ya!
Jeff's goal in podcast episodes like this is to motivate the Christian to take personal ownership over his or her own walk with Jesus. He encourages us to get proactive. He helps us not to give in to timidity or hesitancy. Pursuing God's gifts with an open, humble heart will never hurt you. In fact, it is likely to open up your walk with Jesus in ways you have never previously experienced. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you were blessed. We will talk to you next week in the next episode of Mavericks and Misfits.